You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci with our program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network as the countdown is officially on. We are now just 17 days away from the start of the National Football League regular season. Preseason continues, of course, next week. Week 3 is the definitive preseason game. The dress rehearsal, we understand Trevor Siemian has just been named the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos. There are other quarterback battles going on across the National Football League that we will discuss. Jason Braddock will join us on the program. One of my favorite guests. This guy knows the National Football League inside out, specifically the Houston Texans. And you know what? Braddock joined us, I guess it was last week, a week and a half ago, whatever. And we were planning on talking about the quarterback situation with the Texans. But the Ezekiel Elliott news dropped that morning. So unless somebody else gets suspended in the next 30 minutes, Jason Braddock talks Houston Texans. We'll run the gauntlet with Jason, though. We'll figure out what the quarterback situation is. Wide receivers, running backs. We'll get the 4-1-1 as far as the Texans are concerned. I believe they're playing the Saints for their dress rehearsal game. And who's going to start that game? If Tom Savage starts that game, does it mean that Tom Savage is starting quarterback in week one? Probably. You know, it seems like Savage probably has the upper hand right now, as good as Deshaun Watson has looked. I'm going to tell you, Houston have a lot of good problems right now. They're deep in a lot of positions. So we're talking football with Jason Braddock. Donnie Wrightside steps up and in. Donnie Wrightside's in a baseball mood this afternoon. SBR picks Donnie Seymour, a.k.a. Donnie Wrightside, throws it down with us. We'll talk some baseball. Little Monday Night Football. We'll talk Monday Night Football with Steve Merrill. ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts. Steve Merrill joins us. Monday, we always talk baseball with Steve. Little NASCAR recap. Kyle Busch gets it done again. And we talked about that. Drivers that don't need the win can win right now because it doesn't matter. They can take a chance and they don't have to worry because they're already locked into the playoffs. Interesting dynamics. We only have 2 weeks left on a NASCAR circuit before the playoff chase begins. And interestingly enough, NASCAR has a bye week this week. And then, you know, it's pedal to the metal, literally and figuratively. So we've got a ton of stuff on the program to get to. So the National Football League season is now just 17 days away, and the quarterback battles continue. The contract battles continue as well. If you're not paying attention, Le'Veon Bell, he's not liking what the Pittsburgh Steelers have offered as far as a long-term deal is concerned. He's going to play. You don't have to worry. He's going to show up before the season starts. Yet, and he says, I'll be happy. It's all good. I'm going to play for my teammates. I'm going to play hard no matter what. I don't have a problem with that, really. And it doesn't really matter that Le'Veon Bell's not playing in the preseason, but it does matter that he's not there. It does matter that he's not there just going through the rigors of what a camp brings. It's hard to walk off the street onto a National Football League field in week one of the regular season, even if your name is Le'Veon Bell. And I'd be concerned about injury. That's my deal right now. If I'm looking at Le'Veon Bell and I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, whatever. Yeah, he's not here right now. I'm not worried about him knowing the playbook, but I am concerned about the conditioning. He could be working out, man. He could be in the gym all the time. It's not the same as being on the practice field with your teammates. But nevertheless, one person that's he's getting paid again, large again, is Roger Goodell. So Le'Veon Bell, he's fighting for his money. And I think they offered him like $12 million a year. Well, you know what? Roger Goodell is going to be making a little bit more than that. Roger Goodell is on the verge of signing a 5-year contract extension in the ballpark of $44 million. So you figure, listen, 5 years, $44 million? All right, that's kind of fair. Sounds like a good contract. Oh, wait. Ooh, it's $44 million per year. That's right. Roger Goodell is going to make about 40. It depends on the bonuses and everything. In between $40 and $45 million a freaking year. Like, is it just me, or is there something wrong with this picture? Like, we've talked about this in the past as far as National Football League player salaries are concerned compared to other leagues, but there really is something wrong. Like, how much is Tom Brady making this year? 14 mil? I know he takes hits for the salary cap and stuff, but nevertheless, Roger Goodell shouldn't be making three times more of the greatest quarterback in the history of the game. You know, Roger Goodell's making like double what anybody else in the NFL is making, overpaid quarterbacks, etc. It's freaking ridiculous. All right, so okay, it's a big business. I get it. But It's insane. $45 million a year. So just imagine how much he'd get paid if he actually did a good job. Think about that. Like, I don't even know where to start here. Like, is there anything you can look at Roger Goodell's career and say to yourself, you know what, man, he did a great job with that. He's done awesome. Let's see. Okay, he had Deflategate. Yeah, he handled that beautifully, didn't it? Freaking went to court, took forever, dragged on forever, handled the Ezekiel Elliott situation perfectly. I still don't even know what he got suspended for. Yeah, I know there might have been an incident, but I don't know, man. If the cops aren't involved and there's no charges filed, then I don't see where Roger Goodell has the power to step in and start suspending people. But hey, that's just me. But other than that, he's done everything great. Oh, no. Oh, no, that's not right. For one reason or another, he allowed the Chargers to move to Los Angeles, and they're getting less people than a freaking MLS team is right now. All right? You're playing in a 30,000-seat stadium. You can't get more than 20,000 people. You're giving away free tattoos. That, you know, the Chargers, that was the other little gimmick after they couldn't draw anyone. See, I don't know, like, how, this is how stupid the Chargers are. Nobody likes you. Nobody cares. The last thing they want to do is get your damn logo tattooed on their skin forever. Anyway, we know, how about lowering the prices instead of offering free tattoos? Like, yeah, that's great. Yeah, we know you don't like us. You know, we know that you really don't care that we moved here. We know that the Rams are only getting 40,000 people. Like, think about it. I lived in L.A. The city of L.A. didn't want an NFL team. They would have taken the Raiders. They would have been happy with the Raiders. They get the Rams, whatever. The Rams blow, and you see the USC Trojans get more people in the Rams. Made perfect sense to put another team there, right? Now you're screwing over Oakland again, and now you screwed over San Diego. And, oh, yeah, what about St. Louis? We can go down the list. How's he handle the concussion stuff? How does he handle the concussion stuff? They didn't even fulfill their pledge and give him the last $18 million to the study. Like, at what point, like I said, he's making $44 million a year. How much would he get if he actually did a damn good job? Man, it's a crazy-ass world we live in. And Roger Goodell's running it, evidently. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morency. All right, we've got a great show lined up for you. Great guests. We got Steve Merrill. We've got Donnie Wrightside. We got Jason Braddock. We're talking football and baseball on the program today. Countdown is on. College football, the regular season actually starts in 5 days, guys. It's not a glamorous card, and there's only four line games as we speak right now. 2 weeks, basically. Two Saturdays from now, we've got that full slate of college football. I will be in Las Vegas, Nevada on the first Saturday of the college football season. But we've got college football this Saturday. Of course, we've got Mayweather and Conor McGregor this Saturday as well. NFL regular season is rapidly approaching. We're going into week three, dress rehearsal week. And, of course, baseball, man. Everybody's still in this thing except for a handful of teams. More teams are in it than aren't in it. Let's talk some baseball, NASCAR, a little football with Steve Merrill. Steve, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Doing well. And the NASCAR is off this weekend in the Cup Series, so it's good because we've got a little college football. But like you said, we've got the biggest wrestling-slash-boxing match in the history of mankind.
Yeah, and the number keeps dropping. People sent me more tweets this morning about it, but I was pretty busy. I didn't even get a chance to hit refresh, but it really is getting like in the 300 range in some spots right now. I predicted it that it would. And I think that no one ever bets on Floyd. I remember like against De La Hoya, against Hatton, I can go down the list. People never bet on Floyd. They always take the opponent, but it's pretty crazy, man. When you consider it was minus 750 and a little higher at one point. And now, I don't know if you're seeing in front of you right now, Steve, but there are literally 300s out there right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at one major book, you know, and it's around plus 3-something, minus 4-something for Mayweather at a lot of the books. But, I mean, like you said, he was a 1-7 favorite. Now he's less than a 1-5 favorite. The over-under is 9.5 to the under now. I feel like there's been a little bit of under money, actually. If I'm not mistaken, I think that juice was a little less a few weeks ago.
I've seen, it was 9.5, and a lot of places are starting to move it to 8.5 now. It has come down.
We get some under money, which makes no sense to me, Gabe. I don't know your opinion on that, but, I mean, the only way I think McGregor wins is if he gets a lucky one-punch knockout. Otherwise, you know, I think Mayweather will probably play with him. I don't know. You know, I guess I could see it going under. I'm starting to think some of the distance bets and the decision bets might have the best return to risk.
I can tell you what, Steve, if you look at each round, and I've done a lot of research on this, I've talked about it a lot. If you look at each round for this fight, like Floyd to knock Connor out in the first round is like 28-1. All right, so that's as high as they're going to pay you. But where I'm going with this is round 6, round 7, and round 8 is all like 11-1, Steve. Everything else is 18-1, 24-1, etc. So you don't have to be a boxing analyst to even realize that, you know what, the odds makers believe that the highest probability of Floyd finishing Connor is in round 6, 7, or 8.
That makes sense, because an MMA fight goes 5 rounds.
Yeah.
And McGregor, to be honest, has hardly ever done that, though, as you know.
Well, and Floyd, and exactly, you said it, like, if Connor's going to win, it means he's going to knock him out early. You know, as the fight goes on, Connor's going to gas a bit, and he's going to get frustrated trying to hit Floyd. Now, Floyd said the other day on the Jimmy Kimmel show that he's not going to fight his normal style. He said, I don't have to fight the way I always had to. This guy's a bum, basically. You know, he said, I don't have to fight defensively. He goes, I'm going to entertain everybody. I'm going to go in the middle of the ring, and I'm going to knock him out. Except I think he's just saying that to sell the fight. I think he will sort of dance around, frustrate Connor for the first 3-4 rounds, and then just start really bashing Connor's face in.
Yeah, I mean, my take on this from watching McGregor's one edge, you know, and he's been great at what he's done, but you also have to remember he was very big, as you know, very long for the 140 series. And that was exposed when he went up to 170, his true walking weight against Nate Diaz. And he even said, and I agree, that he hit Diaz with some shots in the fight he lost, the first one, that would have knocked down and finished guys at the 140 and 155-pound range. And that's how McGregor's won all of his other fights. Now, Mayweather is a low 150-pounder, but he's not going to get hit by Connor because he's unbelievably quick and defensive.
The thing is, though, too, like the guys in the UFC, they're different gloves, so, you know, it's a little easier to get knocked out. And guys in the UFC don't have as good chins as boxers do, right? Like Mayweather being hit by Sugar Shane Mosley is tougher than being hit by Connor. You know, like it just is. I know Connor, like, you know, MMA striking at 145 or 170, whatever, they're just not, it's not the same, right? But he could catch him. Like, you know, he has a shot. The only advantage, we'll get to baseball here, but the only advantage that Connor has is the unpredictability factor. You know, like, we don't really know what Connor's going to do. And Connor is a pretty creative guy. And I will give him that. Like, he's going to have some weird angles, and he's not going to be a traditional boxer. So I think that's why, at the beginning, Floyd has to sort of be careful and sort of watch him. And then say, all right, this guy's just clowning around. Now I'm going to go in here and do this. To me, that's the only factor that comes into play. But now the price is so low, I recommend you can put Floyd Mayweather in parlays with football games if you have to, or a baseball game.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say real quick about Connor being long, you know, my point there is that you got to worry about getting kicked in MMA, and he's a great kickboxer. And he's got a spinning back kick. He's got long, you know, roundhouses, and Floyd doesn't have to worry about that. And if you look at Connor's knockouts, they're flailing punches. I mean, they're like haymaker-type punches where he's got a long swing. It's not compact. And that's why I think he's going to leave himself open to being knocked out unless he drastically switches his style. And another thing about this price right now, the sharp money's going to come in on Mayweather. I think now is when you buy, because this might go to 5-6 minus 700 with the sharps, because they're just waiting, because they know what's going on like you do, that the line's dropping and dropping. But they're going to come in on Mayweather, and it's going to be very interesting to see how high this line eventually goes.
Yeah, I can't think it could get too much lower. I'd wait a little bit more. The Irishmen are going to roll in. 93%.
Well, yeah, there'll be public money. Yeah, there'll be public money.
Yeah, but 93% of the bets. Yeah, 93% of the bets are on Connor, right? So it's just
the
books can't help it. But at some point, look, somebody dropped $880,000 last week, and it didn't really move the line. And that guy was kind of dumb because he laid minus 550. All right, so your power rankings, Steve, baseball. Dodgers are Dodgers keep rolling, 4-1 on the road. The road trip continues, and it's a relatively short price. And they didn't need Curtis Granderson, but they figured, hey, why not? Let's pick him up and get a little bit deeper. Jock Peterson's been struggling a little bit, so now they're even deeper. They got Curtis Granderson in here. We got Alex Wood on the hill tonight against Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, and I mentioned, too, in the power rankings that Chris Taylor, five-hit series against Detroit, the infielder's batting .311, 17 home runs. I mean, this is why the Dodgers are so good this year. They have several different starting pitchers with Kershaw not even in the rotation right now. They've got offensive guys that are stepping it up. As I mentioned last week, they're hitting left-handers better in some spots this year than right-handers, which is incredible because they've been just terrible the last couple years against lefties. This is a well-rounded team, and, you know, you keep trying to find some spots to fade them. This might be one tonight. Pittsburgh's been a very up-and-down team. They've lost five straight. They've now won two in a row after the weekend. Maybe that's a good buy sign for the Pirates, but, hey, you look, you know, the Dodgers are by far the best team in baseball right now.
Yeah, I don't see how we don't grab a piece of the Dodgers this evening. Astros, interesting that the Astros are playing the Nationals this week. You got the Astros number two and the Nationals number three in your power poll, in your power rankings. Stroh's been on quite an under as of late, as you wrote. 9-3 to the under in her last 12 games. Two similar teams in the Nationals and the Astros. Both great records. Both have run away with their division all season long.
Yeah, and Houston's second-best record in baseball, by far the best in the American League, and they're still basically, what, a 500 team the last two and a half weeks overall. They've had a little bit of a losing streak. They've started to win here over the past week. They look like the team that's kind of coasting right now. You know, it's not the Dodgers. They keep winning. Houston's a team that's kind of coasting, and they've had a lot of injuries this year, and they still continue to win. It's really impressive considering that the Dodgers and Astros have missed Kershaw and Keuchel for several games this year, and they still have the two best records in baseball.
You mentioned the Washington Nationals and Gio Gonzalez. It's funny, last week I was on the radio live, and I was talking about how the Nationals going into the playoffs have a pretty good rotation. And Strasburg's healthy with Scherzer, Strasburg, and Gonzalez. And Cam started telling me about how Gian Gonzalez blows and he's terrible and he's overrated. And he nearly pitched a no-hitter that night. Like, Cam was telling me this in, like, the third inning. And then, like, by the end of the hour, I'm like, you know, Cam, he's got a no-hitter tonight, eh, in the seventh inning right now. And, you know, the fact is he's only given up two runs in his last four starts. And if Gio keeps pitching like this, it's a real dangerous team in the playoffs. He's a big factor for them if he's pitching well.
Yeah, I guess that explains why, as I mentioned in my power rankings, that he's getting no respect. He was a -$1.10 favorite in his last two starts. As you mentioned, he's given up only two runs in his last four outings overall. And I guess that's a perfect example of why we still getting good prices of Gonzalez. He's only the third best pitcher on the team, but he's still one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, we can thank Cam for betting against him.
He's the Mayweather of baseball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can thank Cam for that. All right, so other teams that are right next to each other, and you and I have talked a lot about these clubs, the Red Sox and the Indians. You picked the Indians. You like the Indians. I like the Red Sox. I said before the year, I think this is the Red Sox year, but last year in the American League, I got the Red Sox versus the Dodgers. Last year, I thought the Red Sox would beat the Tribe. They played each other in the playoffs. Here they are facing each other once again in another monster series. All these games count right now, man. No one's running away with anything in the American League besides the Astros.
Yeah, now, you know, after the All-Star break, when I kind of said, who do you think? I said Dodgers, Indians, although right now my power rankings have the Red Sox fourth, the Indians fifth. So I guess my power rankings are slightly leaning towards the Sox. We'll see what happens with this four-game series, which starts tonight on Monday, four straight in Cleveland. Indians should have a slight edge there. Two pretty shaky pitchers on the mound tonight. You know, these are two great bullpens, but they have some holes in that starting rotation. And I think the two guys on the mound tonight, Clevinger and Rodriguez, show that there's definitely some weakness in the starting rotation for both these teams.
Yeah, the total looks a little low at 8.5 there. That caught my eye. Clevinger's
9.5. Yeah, 9.5. But still a little low for these two offenses. They're averaging over 6 runs a game each over the past week.
Yeah, earlier in the morning it was 8.5 at some spots.
Oh, really? Yeah, that might have been like a slight opener or a typo because, it's pretty much 9.5 across the board. 9.5 to the under, though.
Yeah, so, I always get burnt. I'm a big total guy when it comes to football and basketball. I hate baseball totals, man. I always get screwed, Steve. I'll play in-game totals. Once the game starts, I'll bet totals. But before the game starts, I always get screwed.
Well, I was going to say also 9.5 is a tricky number. That's kind of like 3.5 in football. Because 7 and 9 are the key numbers, and 9 in the American League is the most key number. A lot of games land on that. And that's why that's always a tough number to go over as well, because you got that half run working against you.
You've been saying you didn't buy into the Rockies. They only went 3-4 during their seven-game homestand. They're only up 2.5 games on the Brewers right now. And it's funny, earlier in the year, it was like, well, you know, the Dodgers are running away with it, but Arizona and Colorado, you guys are almost locked into a playoff. I remember, like, seeing the percentage of your playoff percentages and stuff. And both Arizona's and Colorado's was pretty high at one point. But reality's starting to catch up to them. The Rockies are only up 2.5 games on the Milwaukee Brewers right now for the wild card. St. Louis Cardinals continue to lurk as well. And then you got the Rockies and the Royals, who are both in sort of similar situations. You know, they're both battling. Another massive series going on starting tomorrow in Kansas City.
Yeah, last week, you know, Colorado and Arizona were both top six. I meant the Dodgers, Rockies, and Diamondbacks, three of the top six teams are from the NL West. I just don't feel like that can continue, and it looks like both teams are starting to slide. Colorado fell to sixth, Arizona now down to eighth. Rockies lost 4 out of 7, as you mentioned, to the Braves, Brewers. Arizona got swept by Minnesota and outscored 27-8. One thing about both these teams, they have very hitter-friendly ballparks, and I'm always suspect of those type of teams because their numbers get skewed. And I think both of them aren't quite as good as people think this season.
All right, a couple of quick hits here. The Cincinnati Reds are terrible, but one thing I've caught on to is the over here, Steve. 68-52-5. These guys are on quite an overrun right now.
Their offense isn't bad. Their pitching is atrocious, and that's what you need for some good overs.
Yeah, and they're hosting the Cubs and the Pirates this week, so keep your eye on that. We saw what happened last time with the Reds and the Cubs. Last baseball hit, Reds, Rangers, and Angels, another monster series here. This total actually feels low as well. Halos are battling right now. They're in a three-team battle for the wild card spot. Both teams are hot here. The Halos 8-2, last 10. Rangers come in pretty hot, 7-3 in their last 10. Hamels and Skaggs tonight.
Yeah, Texas is really holding on. I got them one spot behind Seattle, so they're really, you know, right now basically the fourth team in that division, but I think they have a better chance than the Mariners to make a playoff run still. Angels are the team we talked about last week, and they continue to play well, and they went 7-2 against Seattle, Washington, and Baltimore the last 9. Their bullpen is starting to pitch better as well, and that could be the real key to Anaheim making a playoff push.
Yeah, I'm not so who do you like in this game tonight?
Yeah, I think it's a tough call for the individual game, but I think the Angels are more of a play-on team still than the Rangers overall.
All right, Steve. So NASCAR, you mentioned there's a bye week next week. Kyle Busch won. We talked about it, in which drivers are going to win right now, and they don't have to because they can take chances. They don't have to worry about making the playoffs. We see that with Kyle Busch. But he gets the clean sweep, man. Not only did he win there, he wins the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series race as well this week there. That's insane.
Yeah, only his second win of the series on the Cup Series this year, but he's been by far the second most dominant driver after Truex and maybe Kyle Larson. On Twitter, I go to Twitter, check out a link I just posted a few minutes ago. It's from NASCAR.com. It's got the playoff points, and it's got the race wins and stage wins. Truex and Kyle Busch combined have 25 stage wins. Nobody else has more than 4 on the season. That's how dominant these guys have been.
All right, Eric Jones and Matt Kenseth. That was pretty interesting stuff right there. You've got a guy who's going to be taking somebody's ride and then bumps him out of the way in a race as well. Pretty hardcore. You know, one thing moving forward, Kenseth, he's hanging off for dear life right now as far as the playoff chase is concerned because he keeps racking up these good finishes. But you got to wonder, he almost seems resigned, and he said, well, yeah, I would be mad, but life is good. I've never been happier in my life. There's more to life than racing. Anytime you start hearing guys talk like that, there's more to life than racing, it's got to be a little bit of a red flag right there.
Yeah, you know who said that coming into this season? Earnhardt Jr.
Exactly.
After his time off. He said he traveled and realized there was more to life than racing, and boy, has he been awful. 284 points out, by the way, with 2 to go. Chase Elliott, Kenseth, McMurray, they're the last 3 in right now. They're the 3 without wins that are in. There's only 11 points separating those 3. However, Clint Bowyer is 58 points back, Logano 117, Eric Jones 126. So one of those 3 has to win. Otherwise, there's really not that much drama for these last 2 races. The only drama is if one of those guys pulls a win, then that'll bump one of those last 3 that's currently in. Eric Jones had his chance once again, did not get it done. He's going to have to win, and Logano's going to have to win. And by the way, Gabe, we talk about that win that didn't count. Do you know he's only won 1 stage victory all season? He really has not been running that good overall.
Yeah, and he's another guy that says he's really happy. He just had a baby. His wife just had a baby and stuff. See, happiness kills in NASCAR, Steve. No good.
I was surprised, though. Denny Hamlin had it earlier in the week, had his second child with his girlfriend. They're not married. And I was going to tweet out Sunday, don't use him. He's probably distracted. And he actually was one of the best cars in the field, so you never know.
No, you should have tweeted out, don't get married. That's the...
Yeah, well, exactly. I was going to say, the difference there is he's not married. That's why I pointed that out. So there's a little bit of an intricacy there.
All right, so try this. I believe our cameraman's
about to get married. Top five finish.
Yeah. Giants and Browns. Giants and Browns this evening. You got the Browns plus one. It's Monday Night Football. It's actually a real Monday Night Football game, Steve. So it's a dun-dun-dun-dun, the whole nine yards and all that. Monday Night Football. I'm wearing a Browns jersey right now in support of my Cleveland Browns pick this evening. The Giants are a putrid preseason team, man. They always have been. They were last week. We know how bad Mike Tomlin is. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, even the Steelers went in there and beat them. With Joshua Dobbs playing his first damn game. They had no backups. Like, the Giants are bad. And, you know, don't expect to see much of Eli. He didn't play last week. There's going to be a small dose of Eli tonight. But they've got a real backup quarterback situation going on with the Giants right now. And it's not a pretty one. Geno Smith and Josh Johnson. Davis Webb's not good enough. So, like, Davis Webb's not, like, going to be the second guy. So it's between Johnson and Smith, and then they probably get cut. And then, you know, the loser gets cut. And then Webb's the third string guy. And then conversely, you've got a pretty healthy quarterback situation going on with Cleveland. Brock Osweiler didn't play last week, but the guy's an NFL vet. Good preseason guy to have out there. DeShone Kizer, interestingly enough, worked his way up to number two on the depth chart already. Expect to see a ton of Kizer in the second half. And we saw Kizer's magic last week with that 45-yard touchdown pass late to beat the Saints. Hugh Jackson, Steve, was 0-4 last year with the Browns against the spread, straight up and against the spread in the preseason. He was 0-4 with the year with the Raiders as well. He was 0-8 in the preseason coming in. He won last week. I think they win again. I think the Browns like winning these preseason games at home.
Yeah, here's what Hugh Jackson was quoted as saying this week. We are going to win there, or we're going there to win. There's no question about that. There's a score being kept, and if there is, you want to win. Yet, like you said, he's only won once in the last few seasons as a head coach, so who knows, you know, what these guys really want to do. McAdoo is 2-3 now after losing last week, as you said, in a good spot, actually. The quarterback rotation actually looks okay for the Giants. I mean, Geno Smith and Johnson are capable as backups, and Eli is supposed to actually play into the second quarter tonight, so we'll see. With that, the money's coming on the Giants. They've gone from a 1.5-point underdog to a 1-point road favorite. Total's gone down from 39.5 to 38. It's just, you know, I like the back bad teams like Cleveland. It's just they're so bad. I don't even know if they can compete at this level still.
Yeah, you know what my deal is? I don't believe in Geno Smith, even in the preseason.
You were right last week. Talked about it last week.
I did. I said Ryan Fitzpatrick, same thing. I said this guy will turn the ball over in the preseason even, and he did. Like, there's certain guys, they suck. They're terrible. Like, he's terrible. Right. It won't matter. Preseason. And the thing is, too, he's terrible, and he's not going to be surrounded by talent at that point in time, so it doesn't help them. You know, like, these veteran quarterbacks, like Brandon Whedon. I keep telling people that Brandon Whedon was on the field in the fourth quarter of a preseason game. Oh, this guy's started games in the NFL. Yeah, he was terrible. And he was terrible on the field in the preseason, playing with a bunch of scrubs as well. The guy sucked when he was surrounded by Dez Bryant and talent. Like, you give him a bunch of scrubs from Toledo, it's going to be even worse. I like the Browns tonight, but I do. I think it's a good spot for the Browns tonight, actually. I don't trust the Giants here.
Well, like you said, you know Geno Smith and Josh Johnson can't play at the NFL level. At least with a guy like Kizer, there's that hope that he could be like a Dak Prescott. You know, last year turned it on in the preseason and played well. There's always that potential, I guess, because there's that unknown quantity still. But that's the preseason for you. You know, there's suspect information on what the coaches are really doing, and there's suspect results on how the quarterbacks really play, and that's why it's preseason football.
Yeah, Josh Johnson's better than Geno Smith, but I wouldn't want Josh Johnson to be my backup quarterback for this job. But one thing is, Eli Manning started 199 games in a row. The Browns have had 21 quarterbacks start in that same span. Steve, we got to get out of here. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, we go from Steve Merrill. We'll talk a little football with Donnie as well about this game. And Jason Braddock will join us. We'll talk some Houston Texans football. That and more. Game Time Decision continues.
Yeah. Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's talk some baseball from a betting perspective. Let's get down to business with my main man, Donnie Wrightside, SBRPicks.com. Donnie, always a pleasure, man. How you doing?
Doing very good. The eclipse is out there, Gabe. It looks like it's nice in the studio where you're at over there. Don't blind yourself, right?
Yeah, no, thank God I'm actually locked in during this eclipse because I could have gotten in trouble. And it's funny, different college coaches, Donnie. I was tweeting about this earlier. I was actually fascinated by the eclipse for real, all kidding aside. But I saw some college coaches, Will Muschamp over in South Carolina, and that's one of the hotbeds of the eclipse. And they said, we're going to be practicing through it. It'll get dark and we'll continue our practice. Tom Herman, Texas, told everyone, don't go outside, don't like, and even like he told them, don't look up, don't look up. So it's funny, some coaches are smart and realize their kids are dumb. And you got to tell them, whatever you do, don't look. And I'm not even kidding, Donnie. College football starts on Saturday with a couple of crap games and then 2 weeks for real. If I'm a college coach, I'm not taking any chances. I would have gotten all my kids inside for this.
No, you're absolutely right with that, Gabe. I mean, how many college kids, you know, you talk about and you see the stories out there, the poor college kids. How about somebody pays them $20? Can you look at the sun for more than 2 minutes there? Somebody's getting burned. You know that for a fact, Gabe.
Dude, the Michigan defensive coordinator, Adazio, the former head coach of Boston College, said he was going to do it to prove people that he's, it's a myth. It's crazy talk. Like, hey, you're an old man. We'll get another defensive coordinator. You want to do that, but I don't want to lose my quarterback 2 weeks before the season starts because the kid looked at the sun, you know?
Exactly.
All right, so A's and Orioles. Let's get down to business here. One thing, and, you know, when it comes to betting baseball, let's not overcomplicate things at times. And my buddy Cam Stewart, who I do a radio show with, always tells me, bet on the A's at home, bet against the A's when they're on the road. And not only are the A's bad on the road, they're the worst road team in baseball, Donnie. They really are. 20 wins all year.
Yeah, 20 wins all year. And look at the guy pitching on the mound tonight, Gabe. Not that much to offer. Sometimes you don't have to make it so hard on yourself and just take the better overall team. If you look at the betting markets tonight on this game, 77% are backing the home team with the Baltimore Orioles. It's not a surprise. Chris Smith's road ERA is a 4.50. His last three starts combined, Gabe, 6.61. Again, you pointed out 20-39 on the road, 13-19 versus left-handed pitching. And what's worse than having a pitcher that doesn't carry you through that long in the game, Gabe? An even worse bullpen. Don't make it that hard on yourself. If you're looking at this game, you say you don't want to lay the number of 185 when that line has continued to increase hourly today. Maybe look at a shot at the over because, you know, for one thing, Miley's not the greatest pitcher in the world either. Looking at this, that's almost a 5 ERA. I understand he's been better in his last three games, but let's not put lipstick on the pig, so to speak. Both of these pitchers are going to struggle to get people out. Maybe looking towards the total of an overplay, even though it is high at 10.5, Gabe.
Yeah, Miley's whip, 169. Ooh. Not pretty. All right, I talked about this game earlier in the program a little bit, the Red Sox and the Indians. Last year, I was all over the Red Sox in that playoff series, man. I thought they were going to beat them in a series, and I kept losing each game. No, they'll win the next one. They'll win that. The worst way to bet baseball. But, you know, in the playoffs, it's like, man, there's no way the Red Sox are getting swept here. But these teams are becoming nemesis, man. They're both in each other's way all the time right now. They very well could play each other in the playoffs once again this year, Donnie.
Yeah, no, if you look at Cleveland, last game out when they had Clevinger on the mound versus Pfister in Boston, I was actually on the non-public side taking Boston as the home team. They cruised to a victory. In that game, Clevinger pitched 3 innings, 5 earned runs, opening the season and pitching through, you know, May, June, and July. Clevinger was having some decent success, struggling a little bit later here. If we take a look at the number, Gabe, currently sitting off short about minus 124, minus 122, depending on the outlet you're looking at. 54% of the public is betting the road team in Boston here, Gabe. I actually agree with them in this spot.
It's hard to fade them. 14-3 in their last 17 baseball games. But Cleveland are hot too. You know, 8-2. And maybe they just have Boston's number. That's why it's intriguing. I don't like sitting on the fence, but I don't have a play on this one. I got 5-6 picks for the guys at the end of the show. So there's enough action if you're a degenerate. But I'm not forcing anything on this one.
Yep.
All right. D-backs and Mets. Thoughts on this one?
Diamondbacks and Mets taking a look at that game just to make it short and sweet. I mean, you're looking at pitcher Gesellman, not good time. I won't. They all know they're complete sellers.
We got a little audio problem here with Donnie. Oh, I remember sometimes Merrill would freeze. Sometimes Merrill would freeze, but we get him back. We're going to reestablish connection with Donnie Wrightside. His camera, too, Drew pointed out. Looks like he's like, man, this guy looks like Philip Rivers. I don't think Philip Rivers ever placed a bet on his life. Two things that Philip Rivers has never done. Placed a bet or used a condom. That's damn good. Hey, Drew, was that good?
That was good.
Hey, come on, that's, you know. That's some A-level material right there. Okay, so as Donnie was saying, we got Walker on the hill for the D-backs. How about this? The D-backs have lost Walker's last seven starts. They've lost their last seven starts that Walker's been on the hill for the D-backs. As Donnie was saying, we've reestablished connection with Gesellman here. Back from the DL second start. He's given up 14 home runs and 81 innings work this year. They're both cold. Mets have 1-6 in their last seven. D-backs in a free fall. If I got to bet this game, which I don't, and I'm not, I'm taking the D-backs, though, if I had to.
Yeah, I mean, simple breakdown also. I mean, you talk about a team rising to the occasion, Gabe. Look at the Mets on the season versus teams with winning records, 10-32 since the sell-off in the second half. Gabe, 3-12 versus a team with a winning record. Mets are hard to bet at this point.
All right, Mariners and Braves. And I'm going to tell you, Donnie, no one's ever gotten rich over the years betting on the Seattle Mariners on the road, man. All right? Yeah. But... it's called gambling for a reason. I'm going to roll the dice. I look at the pitching matchup here tonight, and, you know, Atlanta. So one thing with these Atlanta Brave pitchers, that's what happens when you jackasses move stadiums every 2 years. You know, they find out, oh, man, our pitchers can't pitch in this park. And a lot of their pitchers are getting lit up at home, Donnie, the Braves pitchers this year.
No, absolutely. What a hitter's ballpark there. I mean, just take a look at Teheran at home. You know, generally a very good pitcher. Just can't seem to get a hold of it there at SunTrust. Take a look at Foltynewicz at home here, though, Gabe. 9th starts on the season. A 3.5 ERA. Not too bad. But look at his last 3 starts. Close to an 11 ERA. Yep. Tuned up in 3 of his last 4 starts. If we take a look at Seattle, 29-30 overall on the road, which actually doesn't sound bad. I mean, let's not forget how they started the season. They couldn't, you know, buy a road victory in that one. Albers is on the mound today. To make a long story short in this one, not really looking to back Seattle here. Very topsy-turvy. Lost 5 in a row. Won 4 in a row. Lost yesterday. I might, again, in that hitter's ballpark down there, Gabe, why not take a look at an over? Both of these lineups can hit and not the greatest pitching matchups here, Gabe.
You know what? I got to give Seattle credit. You're right. Because every time you're like, oh, they're done, and you see Paxton is hurt, and right away I was like, oh, they're really done now. Mm-hmm. They're really done. But the thing with Seattle is, when you think they're done, they'll surprise you. And they have been better on the road in the last month or so. They're surprising me, too. They're winning series here and there on the road. And then they'll go home and they'll stumble. You know what I mean? Like, they can never put it all together, but they are battling right now. And speaking of which, we got the Rangers and the Halos. Speaking of battling, the Rangers are still within striking distance. You know, the Angels, to me, if they pull this off, and it's funny because they were ready to run Mike Socha out of town. They were finally like, you know what? Great, you're a great manager. You've done a lot for the organization, but it's time to go. His decision process, the pitching decisions that he would make, you know, it was far from perfect with Socha, but I don't know how the hell the Angels have done this, but they're hot coming in tonight. One thing with Skaggs, though, comes back from the DL, and then the poor guy's grandfather dies. So he had to go to the funeral. He's on a bereavement list. Pitching tonight, I don't know. They do play at Disney World, don't they? or Disneyland whatever. It's a Disney movie. Grandfather dies. Skaggs gets it done tonight. Give me the Disney movie of the night.
Yep, versus Cy Young level pitcher. This is the head scratcher of the night, Gabe. 64% of the public backing the Texas Rangers here. Line opens up roughly 120 to 130. And I'm seeing a couple dollar and a half lines out there in the favor of Skaggs. There's some interesting
numbers. Because it's Hamels, right? I guess it's
exactly. Because it's unbelievable. He's 15-0, I believe. I saw the Twitter stat floating around in his first five inning wagers on the season.
Wow.
And his last three games, Gabe, a 1.64 ERA. So something gives in this spot. We know how well the Angels have responded. 64-60 on the season with the amount of injuries that they've had to key components in pitchers, Mike Trout, a la, that's amazing. 13-5 in August, they're hot. If you're just reading the line here, Gabe, that's a stone-cold Angels line, isn't it?
It is. They're scared. That's what it's saying. They're baiting you. That's exactly it. It's the bait. They're throwing out the reel. Hey, don't you want Cole Hamels here? Come on, guys, look at the price. Take Cole Hamels. And, you know, Hamels 6-1 his last seven decisions, but he hasn't been perfect out there. But, you know, Texas, it's a, you know, division game. I got to ride the hot hand with the Angels. We talked about it. Why overthink things? They've been one of the best, next to the Dodgers, they've been one of the best teams in baseball in the month of August. So before we get you out of here, Monday Night Football tonight, Giants and Browns. Any opinion on this football game?
Cleveland Browns are at home in this situation. As we know, Gabe, when you travel through the preseason, don't really like to wager that much on it, but when you're looking at spots that some teams might be able to use as fuel, obviously Cleveland is going to be more in a teaching mode, going to try to play four quarters, try to teach the team how to win. If you look at the New York Giants from their perspective, they're just looking to stay and not get hurt in this game. Get in, get out, get a little bit of film work there. Worry about the second half. Doesn't matter what the score is. I think Cleveland has more opportunity to win this football game, and from looking at the line, Gabe, shifting actually from Cleveland being a favorite to the Giants. Why not just take a flyer on the home dog here when the quarterbacks are actually fighting for starting time here?
I already like Cleveland. I like it even more knowing that Johnny Publix clicking away because, oh, Eli Manning's going to play the first quarter. Yeah, and I'm sure they're going to air it out too when he's out there, right?
Yep.
Like,
yeah,
always a pleasure, Donnie. Thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Donnie Wrightside with us, SBRPicks.com. Jason Braddock joins me next.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at RotoExperts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's get right down to business so we can get to as much Houston Texan talk as we possibly can. We're now joined by our main man in Houston, who's actually broadcasting live right now from a mattress outlet, which is just so freaking awesome. Do you get like a mattress? Is it part of the deal? Are they going to hook you up, Jason, on the way out?
Not today, but eventually, yeah. Both my co-hosts, they, what we did down here in Houston, I joined the show, The Bottom Line, with former Houston Oilers, Green Bay Packer, and Raider Sean Jones, and also Adam Clanton, and they've already got their mattresses. I'm just getting in the door, so I'm going to
talk
to the owner today and try to swindle mine out the deal.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, Sean must have really needed a custom mattress, man. Big dude.
Man, you know, ever since I've been doing this show, I didn't realize how ridiculous his stats were. I think he's like 22nd all-time with 113 sacks.
Oh, a hell of a defensive lineman.
What's crazy, you know, Gabe, that I really nerd out with the combine. I didn't know this. This is going to blow your mind. Sean Jones's arm length at the when he was measured coming to the NFL was 37.5 inches.
Wow. I'd say Sean Jones was Julius Peppers before Julius Peppers.
I'll tell him you said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Julius had a good comparison, right? Yeah, I think, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was. Except meaner, maybe. Sean was mean on the field, man. I remember he's mean. I'm a Bills fan. I remember him hitting Kelly a few times and stuff. Yeah, I'd love to get Sean on. Great. He must have some great stories playing with Buddy and stuff. Huh, man, like he can tell you the real craziness of Buddy Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to get him on with you. Just tread lightly as a Bills fan. I wouldn't mention any numbers and correlations of 3, 5, and 3.
Yeah, no, exactly. All right, so listen, let's get down to business. Tom Savage, Deshaun Watson. Seems like Savage has the upper hand, even though Deshaun's doing all the right things. So week 3 is the dress rehearsal. They're at the Saints. Whoever starts that game, do you believe that they will be the starter in week 1 against the Jags?
Yeah, Gabe, you know, you've been me and you, we've been discussing this since the draft. You had me on during the draft, after the draft, and I haven't wavered in this. I felt like it was Tom Savage's job in 2017. The only way we see Deshaun Watson is if Savage just goes out there, falls flat on his face, he gets injured, or if Watson just becomes so developed behind the scenes that you can't hold him off anymore. But at this point, my expectations are Savage in 2017.
And I'll tell you one thing as well. It's a healthy situation to have, but it seems like Deshaun Watson has made Tom Savage better, him being there, because Savage is having a hell of a camp right now, isn't he?
Well, Savage is never here's the thing. I think we've probably put Tom Savage in an unfair light. The guy has thrown less than 100 NFL passes spread out.
Oh, I'll be honest with you, Jason. I've ripped him in the past and said that there's no way he's a starting quarterback. I'm one of those guys.
Yeah, I think he's got the capability of being a top 20, top 25 quarterback. But I have I'm at a slight advantage over you, Gabe, to where I've actually been able to see him each day over the last 3 years. Like with yourself, Gabe, you've only been able to see the game action and what he was coming out of Pitt.
Exactly.
And so absolutely. But I've been there every year watching him develop more and more, and I know his backstory. I've talked to Tom, and what's interesting, this will surprise you, Gabe. In high school, he played in a wing tee. I wouldn't characterize that as NFL developmental offense, but he played in a wing tee. Then he goes to college and goes to Rutgers, transfers to Arizona, transfers again to Pitt. This is the longest he's been in an offense, and when you saw him at Pitt, you said he's a prototypical NFL-size, NFL arm strength type developmental quarterback, and he was drafted accordingly to that with the fourth round pick, 135, pick 135 overall. What's significant about being drafted in the fourth round pick, 135 overall, is the exact round, exact pick as Dak Prescott. So both of these guys were viewed as developmental guys in similar veins. Tom Savage just hasn't had the benefit of having that Cowboys offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott. But this year, he's finally getting reps with the ones. We've been a little bit overcritical with his first 100 passes spread out over 3 years. That let the guy take reps with the ones, let him get comfortable, and I think he's going to surprise people. I think he has the ability to be a top 20 quarterback, top 25 at least, in the NFL. But he knows this offense better than anybody else in Houston outside of Bill O'Brien. I think he'll be successful. I think he has a strong arm. I think he goes with great anticipation. And the biggest beneficiary will be DeAndre Hopkins.
Unfortunately, we've only got 2 minutes here. I like the Foreman pick out of Texas. I was a big Foreman fan with the horns at Austin. Showed his hands on Saturday as well. Popped off for 66 yards, a long of 63. But I wanted to ask you about that. So what's the wide receiver situation, and what's Hopkins' health? What's the deal with the hand? What's the rotation going to look like? Is Braxton Miller stepping in? Is it Jalen Strong? And I'll tell you what, don't look now, man, but you're a South Carolina guy. You're a Clemson guy, but the state, Bruce Ellington, man, looking pretty good right now, isn't he? So where are we at with the wide receivers in 1 minute, Jason?
Yeah, Texans went out and picked up three different wide receivers that were with San Francisco last year. And you're probably wondering at first why. It was one of the worst offenses in the NFL. But there were some similarities in that offense they ran last year with what Bill O'Brien did, and that allowed them to add Bruce Ellington to come in here and pick up the offense in 7 to 10 days and be able to go out there and be the number one option for Savage and Watson. But, the wide receiver position is probably the most undercovered story as it relates to the Texans. Everyone wants to talk O-line or J.J. or the quarterback competition. The wide receiver position, if I'm a Texans fan, I'm worried to death about this. Will Fuller's going to be out half the season. Jalen Strong struggles to separate. Bruce Ellington, outside of DeAndre Hopkins, Bruce Ellington's the best receiver that's healthy right now. And Braxton Miller's still a developmental guy, so
I know.
I don't know what they do. I personally don't know if the Texans' number two wide receiver for the first half of the season is on this roster now. I would get creative. I would have been in discussions for a Sammy Watkins trade. I would be in discussions for a Jared Allen-type trade with Martavis Bryant, where he was facing a
we got to get out of here.
Was traded.
We got to get out of here, unfortunately, Jason. But you're right. They're going to have to do something, similar to Arizona. And Arizona's going to have to do something as well. We got to get out of here. We'll come back with our plays in today.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
All right, we got to be quick with our plays of the day, but hey, when don't we? We're going to take the Cleveland Browns tonight. Famous last words. I think the Browns are in a good spot tonight to beat the New York Giants. Baseball, Dodgers are always in a good spot. Seattle Mariners, rolling the dice a little bit, but I like the way the Mariners are playing over the last week. And give me the Angels. How do you not like the Halos? May the winners be yours.